more than willing to come here, happy, honored, greatly honored. I'm so thankful for, first of all, your dear pastor. I thank the Lord that he's here this morning. Don't you? Aren't you? As ill as he was, and you know, the Lord does that. He says, I wound, I heal. And knowing he was very, very ill, frightfully so, we did not expect to see him looking like this, did we, miss? We ate supper with him last night, and I was shocked. He looks good, doesn't he? From the neck down, he looks great. I always say that. He's a dear man. I love this man. I know you do too. We go back a long ways, actually. When were you in Anstead? What year?
38.
Okay. Well, that's how long I've known him. Didn't know him then like I know him now, though. We've been closely acquainted now for several years, but I've known him that long. He's always been a faithful preacher of the gospel. I remember hearing him preach years ago and being blessed as a young man. I'm younger than him, but and still blessed. And you're so blessed to have him. They're nodding their heads. I know you know that. I know you feel that. Thankful for you, and thankful for this church. Boy, do we go way back. We were reminiscing last night with Lester and Bobby and Terry and Pat, Larry and Robin, and talking about the history of this church, how far it goes back, and the dear brothers and sisters that I have such fond memories of, Henry and Olivia and Bill and Dot and Doc and Ruth, and on it goes. Just love them, Herman and Bess, and my fond, fond memories of coming here. Although, let me be honest, as a young preacher's kid, a boy in the summertime, that I really didn't want to come and hear preaching. Sitting here preaching, I heard enough of that growing up. But we did, and we went to places. This was like an oasis compared to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Ooh, in the middle of the summer. That's not where a 14-year-old boy wanted to spend his summer. But now I know that my parents were doing the best thing they could possibly do for me. Like Timothy's mother and grandmother, having him under the sound of the gospel, the word that's able to make him wise unto salvation. And by God's sovereign mercy and grace, here I stand. Because of that same word, how thankful I am. Thankful. Well, and thank you for having me. I think I said this, but Mindy always asked me to sing that song, and then Brother Larry asked them. I suppose if I had one song to sing, it'd be it. It'd be good enough. But if that's the only song I knew, that's all right. So I started thinking, if I only had one message to preach, Larry invited me, and I said, what do you want me to do, Bible study? And he said, no, just one message. I said, one message. I said, okay. So I thought, if I just had one message to preach, what would it be? It'd be the same as that song. Christ is all. Look at Colossians 3 with me. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. This is the text. This is the subject. This is the theme, sum, the substance of all the Bible, of all the Scripture, isn't it? And Brother Larry, as providential, you read that in Luke 24. I was going to quote that, where the Lord preached to those disciples on that road to Emmaus and opened to them the Scriptures and Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, all the things concerning Himself. Colossians 3, verse 11. The last line, well, read it. It says, in Christ there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. And in all. Christ is all. Christ is all. I'm going to try in about 30 minutes. In 30 minutes to to sum up, to declare from God's Word all the purpose of God, the mind of God, the will of God, the mysteries of God. Sum up why the world was created, what salvation's about, your purpose for you, eternal mysteries, all of it in 30 minutes. I can do that. In fact, I can do it in 3 words. Christ is all. Christ is all. He is all, and we want to look briefly at these things. He's all the purpose of God. He's all the will of God, the mind of God. He's the creation of God. He's the reason why God created the universe, the world, everything in it. He's the reason for it. He is all in the Word of God. The whole Word of God speaks of Him. He is all the fullness of God. He is all the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. He's the salvation of God. He's the all the promises of God in Him. The blessings of God. All the blessings of God are in Him. All in creation, providence, salvation, and He is in all His people. And I hope as we hear this, as we listen to this, as we look at this, it says He is all and in all. That means in all His people. He's in them. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He that hath the Son hath life, hath eternal life. He that knoweth, believeth, trusteth. All who believe that Christ is all. He's in you, and you're in Him. That's my whole message in 30 minutes for that. Oh my, so you can take great comfort or hope or peace if you know these things and believe these things and love these things and from the bottom of your heart you say, yes, that's what I believe, that's how I feel, and you rejoice over it. Brother Scott Richardson, everybody in here knows him, most know him, dear man, went to be with the Lord a few years ago. A woman came up to him after the service, after he preached. And this was not, well, she'd been attending for a while. I guess she had all she could take. But she came up to him and said to him, and this is what she said, "Preacher, all you preach is Christ." See, I got it written right down here in my Bible. Every time it said, "All you preach is Christ, Christ, Christ." And she meant that in a derogatory way. "That's all you preach." In other words, "Is that all you got to say?" "See, that's all you preach." And Brother Scott said, with a big smile on his toothless face, he said, "Would you write that on my tombstone?" Christ is all. He really is. Look at Ephesians 1. Go over to Ephesians 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is all in the purpose of God, the will of God, the mind of God, the will and the purpose of God. What is the purpose of God? There's a bunch of idiots out with the purpose-filled life. You know, they wrote books about the purpose-filled life, the purpose-driven life, and all that. Here's the purpose for all things. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 4. Well, it's hard to know where to start and stop in Ephesians 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, that's the will of God, everything is, to the saints, the sanctified ones, set apart, that are at Ephesus or at Pergamum, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places or things. Where are they? In Christ. According, and here's the first blessing, and all of God's people know this. According as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, chosen in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Here's the purpose, the will, the mind of God, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us, predetermined our end, our destiny is predetermined. Don't you love that? But some people hate the sound of that word, the P word. I worked on the railroad all the livelong day. Every time I say that, I think of that. I worked on the railroad for 12 years, and there was a preacher, so-called. Whew. But he and I had locked horns several times. But he said to me, he said, "I'll believe anything but that predestination." Said it like it was bad taste in his mouth. "I'll believe anything but that." And he did, Larry. He believed anything. God's people love this. No, it's God's word. It's God's truth. It's our destiny. It's been predetermined by our Lord. It's not by chance. It's not up to us. Aren't you glad? It's on purpose. That's the word that saved my preacher, my father's soul. Purpose. He heard Rolf Barter scream that at the top of his lungs from Romans 8:28. Never really heard it before. Purpose. Do you remember that story? I'll tell it to you. He was a young Arminian free will preacher. Largest Southern Baptist church in eastern Kentucky. Didn't know God, didn't know Christ. Didn't know the gospel. Preaching a false gospel, another Jesus. Rolf Barnard. God sent an evangelist to town named Rolf Barnard. He came into town. They had a 23 or 4 years old sitting on the front row. And Rolf Barnard got up and said, "Young man, stand up and quote Romans 8:28. And Dad got up. "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And he sat down. And Barnard, y'all remember Barnard. And he looked over those reading glasses. "You didn't quote all of it. Quote it all." And he stood up and he said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose." And his dad said, as soon as he finished that, said purpose, Barnard at the top of his lungs said, "Purpose! Purpose! God does all things on purpose." He said, "Learn something about the purpose of God. You'll know something about the God of the Bible." Dad said it's like an arrow in his heart. He was preaching a God he didn't know. A God that couldn't save. He didn't know the true and living God. God does all things on purpose. And the purpose, the will, the mind of God Almighty is this. Look at verse 9. "He's made known unto His elect." He's made known unto them the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself that, here it is, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. That is, when everything's said and done, when it's all over, He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, in heaven and in earth, even in whom. Everything was created, everything was done for the glory of God's Son, for the purpose of glorifying God's Son. This is the will, the purpose, the mind of God. Like our Lord told the story of the king making a marriage for his son. That's what the kingdom is, isn't it? Barnard used to say this. We quote, there was a preacher years ago who said, if you want to do some good preaching, get you a set of Spurgeon sermons and Barnard's quaint sayings. And you'll be a good preacher. But Barnard used to say, in his, you know, quaint way, he said, God got up from breakfast one morning. And he said he took one look at his well-beloved, only begotten son whom he loved supremely. And he said he determined to have a whole bunch of boys just like him. Well, that's quaint, but that's pretty much the sum of it all, isn't it? God purposed, God determined to have a kingdom full of people conformed to the image of His Son for His Son's glory. To the praise of the glory of His Son who came down here to redeem them by His own precious blood. That's the purpose of all that. We're going to gather together in one. And if you love hearing this now, you love hearing that, you love the thought of that, then you're going to be there then. Because that's all we're going to be doing. that Brother Larry said last night, some people, they're not going to want to be in heaven. All we're going to be doing is what we're doing now. It's obvious some people don't want to do it now. But those of you who do, and there won't be any bad preaching. There won't be any bad preaching. The purpose of God in creation. Look at Colossians 1. Purpose of God in all of creation is to the glory of His Son. In fact, that ball of hydrogen, that burning hydrogen that goes up in the air, that rises every morning, is a testimony to every eye that sees it. This is my Son. There would be no life without the sun, would it? There would be no warmth without the sun. There would be no light without the sun. We'd be in darkness. That is a testimony. In fact, Psalm 19 says that very thing. He made a tabernacle for the sun. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of righteousness, whose light, whose life, is all things. Creation was, everything was created to testify of God's Son. Look at Colossians 1:16, 15. Where do you start? Verse 14. In whom? 13. Let's go to 13. God hath delivered us, that's His people, chosen, elect, delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is? Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, first body created. And by Him, Christ, were all things created in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He's the head. He's over it all, isn't He? Creation. Creation. God made this world as a testimony to His Son. One time, the Lord Jesus Christ took three of His disciples up on the mount. Peter, James, and John. And He revealed Himself to them, didn't He? He peeled back that robe, that robe of flesh, that covering, and they saw Him, God that dwelleth in light that no man can approach unto. And after that was over, you know, they all hit the dirt. And remember, God spoke out loud, "This is my Son." But Simon Peter, he was known to speak up when he shouldn't. And Simon Peter said, after that vision of Christ, he said, "Lord, it's good to be here." He said, "Let's make three tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, one for Elijah the prophet." And that's when God said out loud, "This is my beloved Son. Hear Him." Because to Him give all the prophets witness. The law and the prophets. Moses. That's why the Lord had Moses and Elijah up on that mountain. To Him, they testify of Christ. And our God the Father testified of Christ. He said, "He's the one you need to hear." Men build tabernacles, don't they? They build monuments. They build memorials to men, don't they? Everything is a memorial. God built the whole world. Everything He made is a memorial to, a tribute to His Son. The mountains, the tree, the sun, the tree, Christ, the tree of life, the water we drink. He's the water of life. Everything bears witness to Christ. All creation. He's light, He's life, He's everything. Look at Colossians 1:19. He's the fullness of God. Verse 19. It says, "It pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell." All fullness dwell. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "In Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All the fullness. Fullness means there's nothing else that can be put in it. If you would fill this glass up to fullness, there's nothing could be added to it.
Christ is all. He's all the fullness of God, the Godhead, sovereignty. Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead, of God in a man. He made heaven and earth. The people, when He walked this earth, couldn't get a hold of that. They couldn't believe that. You're just a man, they said, didn't they? They said, you're just a man and you make yourself to be God. They got it backwards. He was a man. I mean, He was God, is God, and He made Himself to be a man. The Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, all these people, they can't grasp this. They don't believe it. They can't believe that that man who walked this earth was God who made this earth, who sits on the circle of the earth. Do you believe that? Do you? That baby that Mary was holding in her arms was really her father. You believe that? Yes. With all my heart, I believe. I know it's so. Well, how do you know that? Our Lord said to His disciples who said that, He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but My Father which is in heaven. Even God said of His Son in Hebrews 1, didn't He? He said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. God said that. You know, when David was dying, he was 70 years old, he was a feeble man in his bed. And when Solomon came up, it says that David bowed himself on the bed to Solomon. The Father bowed to the Son. Brother Larry brought up my father. You know how you esteem him? Well, I esteem him that way too. But do you know how he esteems me? He calls me his pastor now. He's been sitting under me, my preaching, for 8 years. And every message he says, that's the best message I've ever heard. And he says things like this sometimes, Louis. He says, I never preach like that. Well, didn't Christ say, my words are not mine, but the Father which has sent me. But the Father beareth witness to the Son, and the Son beareth witness to the Father. Why? They're equal. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? To become sin, to be our substitute, to redeem His people. It had to be this way. In the mind and the purpose and the will of God, the all-wise will and purpose of God, in making this wonderful gospel of our redemption, He sent Christ, the fullness of the Godhead in a body, to redeem His people from their sin. And He did just that, didn't He? Finished the work. Now God has given Him a name above every name. He's seated where? At the right hand of the Majesty on high. And God said, let everything that hath breath worship Him. Well, that's idolatry if He's not God. Isn't it? Thomas did, didn't he? Bowed at His feet and said, my Lord and my God. And so do I. Do you? He's all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. How can this be? I don't know. But it is. He is. All the fullness of the Godhead. All the character of God is in Him. Holiness. Justice. Oh, my righteousness. Immutability. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I change not. All the love of God. The mercy of God. Grace of God. Gentleness. When God told Moses said, Lord, show me Your glory. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And He said, there's a place by me, and that's where you're going to stand. You're going to stand on the rock. And He said, I'm going to put you in the rock. Brother Larry, it's all Christ, isn't it? All the goodness of God did pass before us. The name of God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness. He is the cleft of the rock. He's the foundation upon which we stand. It says that Moses stood there on that rock and in that rock. How can you be on the rock and in at the same time? We know, don't we? But it says God came down. The Lord came down and stood with Him there. Doesn't it? Who did? Jesus Christ. He's all the goodness of God. He's all the the mercy of God, the grace of God, the salvation. He's the Word of God. All the Word of God. Brother Larry quoted that in Luke 24, where the Lord, beginning at Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, expounded unto them all the things concerning Himself. In all of it. He said, they are they which testify of me. Didn't it? Christ said that. To him give all the prophets witness. Christ is in all the Word. He's the Word of God. His name is. That's His name. The Word of God. The Word made flesh. Isn't that something? God wrote a book. It's all about His Son. There's pictures. The Old Testament is pictures, types, symbols, pictures. It's just, as it were, God has an album full of pictures. You go to the Buckner's house and there'll be pictures of all the people they know and love and esteem highly. And I'm not there. She recognized that. She did, didn't you, Bobby? You caught that. I'm going to send you an 8 by 10. I want you to put it beside my dad, okay? Larry's there. I don't understand. Yeah, anyway, I forgive you. But there's one picture in God's book. There's one in all the book. This is God's picture album, as it were. Type shadows of His Son. I dare not bring up some of you, your grandchildren, or, you know, you'll just be obnoxious about it. Overbearing about it. People, there really is only one altogether lovely person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of His sons are being created in the image of His Son. And everything bears witness. All the men, and even some of the women in the Old Testament represent Christ, don't they? Esther. Abigail. And on it goes. But all the men, Joseph, all the Word of God is of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Although, in Genesis, He's the woman's seed. In Genesis, He's Noah's ark. Abraham's blessed son, the son of promise, Isaac. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. He's the tabernacle. He's the high priest. He's the lamb. He's the furniture. He's all the furniture in the tabernacle. He's every fence post, every curtain, and everything in it, isn't it? Amazing. Who could have written a book but God like that? All tells the same story. You know, the Word of God is 66 books written by 40 authors over a period of 1,500 years. Most of them didn't know one another. And it tells the same story. Why? Because man didn't write it. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And God said, write this about my Son, though hidden from the wise and the prudent. I'm going to reveal it to my children, my babes. They're going to see Christ in every line, in every jot and tittle. That's what this book is all about. That's who. Oh, I had a list here a mile long. Time didn't allow. Oh, my. He's the bridegroom in Song of Solomon. He's the substitute in Isaiah. He's the fountain of living water in Jeremiah. He's the physician. He's Daniel. He's the beloved. Daniel is him. Joseph. On and on it goes. Amen. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard him preach that sermon on the road to Emmaus? The disciples said, have you ever heard such a thing? They'd heard some preaching, but not like that. So did not our heart burn within us? I got to tell you this. I think I told you. It's hard to remember. There was a lady in our church. Virgie Jones was her name. Lord saved her when she was about 75 years old. And she was a solid, faithful member till the day she died. Is that right over there where Louis sit? She was a seamstress, a good one too, one professional. She sewed all my, hemmed all my new pants. Oh, I loved her. She loved me. She loved the gospel. She had that old Virginia drawl, you know. And she had a heart attack. And we went to visit her in intensive care. And her family was out in the waiting room who hates me, who hates the gospel. And they were scowling at us, weren't they? Virgie loved us. And she was always telling her family all the time. Every time she got there here, she said, y'all need to come up here to my church. She said, they don't preach the gospel down there. Come up here and hear the gospel. But we went in to see her. Were you standing beside me a minute? We went in to see Virgie, and there she is. And she said, my children are going to put me in a nursing home. She said, I don't want to go to no nursing home. You know why? She said, because I have to listen to that bad preaching. That's what she said. As her only concern. She loved the preaching of the truth, the gospel that she was hearing. And her only concern in going to a nursing home was that she would hear bad preaching from false preachers. The Lord took her the next morning. Debbie, she didn't have to hear any bad preaching. The next one she heard was Jesus Christ Himself. Woo! You remember that, Linda? Now, I'm going to tell you another one. I got to tell you this. This is to whom Christ is all. Christ was all to that woman. That's all she was concerned about. Was hearing Christ pray. Another dear lady, Ellen Fralin, elderly woman, was there before I got there, and she was faithful. She sat right over there too. After every message, she'd come up to me and said, Now, that's the gospel. She worked in a garment factory. We got a bunch of them up there, like you do here. She sewed collars around sweatshirts. It was Virginia Apparel. And Bobby, she sewed 300 collars a day for 40 years. And she told me one day with a big smile on her face, I love my job. Now, that's faithfulness, isn't it? And she was a faithful steward of the grace of God. She was a faithful member, a faithful supporter of me. Well, she got Alzheimer's. And it's one of the quickest onsets of Alzheimer's we've ever seen one in. We went to see her in this home, assisted living. Went to see her. And walked in, Mindy and I, the song leader and his wife, went in to see her after the morning service. I said, hello, Ellen. I said, you remember me? No, I don't believe I do. I said, I'm Paul Mahan, your pastor. She said, oh, how is he? I said, well, he's fine, but that's not important. I said, Helen, Ellen, we've been worshiping the Lord this morning. And I said, I preached the gospel, Ellen. I said, Ellen, what is the gospel? She said, without hesitation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we about broke down. Christ is all and in all His people. He really is. He's not a creed, like Dad's article on the back, not a doctor, not a creed, He's a living Lord. He is not a part of their life. Brother Donnie preached that, didn't he? Christ our life. Not a part of their life. He is their life. He's all, you know. He's all the Word of God, the wisdom of God. Look at, I knew that happened. He's the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. Proverbs 8, Proverbs 4 speaks of wisdom. That's Christ, isn't it? Let me give you a good illustration. You know, man, for some reason, is called the owl, the wise owl, hasn't it? You ever wonder why that is? The wise owl. You look at the owl, and I guess it's because he can see at night. Got that night vision, and his eyes are big, and he's looking at everything, and he doesn't say much. A man that doesn't say much is thought to be wise, isn't he? But the owl, he just sits there beholding it all. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And this wasn't planned by man, but God did. If you ask that owl any question, he's going to give you a one-word answer. Mr. Owl, what's the meaning of life? Who? Mr. Owl, how is a man saved? Who? Mr. Al, what is truth?
Who? Isn't that good enough?
That's a wise person that knows that, isn't it? Who? The answer to any question is found in Christ. Who? Not what, not where, not when, but who. Who? In Him dwelleth all the fullness. He's all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Listen to that. If Christ is all, then that means everyone else is really nothing at all. In. Huh? Got all these people thinking they're something. Scripture says if any man thinks he's anything, when he's nothing, Christ is all. In heaven, Christ is the only one that anybody's given any glory and honor to. Not Moses, not the prophets, not anyone, but Christ. If Christ is all the wisdom and knowledge of God, I don't care what you know. I don't care what you think you know. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've accomplished. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know anything. As we'd say in the South, you don't know squat. Christ is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1 says that. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Man's going to contradict anything he says, doesn't he? All the wisdom he comes up with, he's going to contradict it. And it's all going to come back to this, the truth. Christ said, I'm the truth. All the wisdom. If Christ is all, and He is, all the treasures, all the riches, it doesn't matter what you have. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Right? There's a scripture that says, there's he that hath great riches but hath nothing. But there's he that maketh himself poor but hath everything. In Him dwelleth all the riches, the fullness, the riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have a neighbor who's just a filthy rich woman. And my wife said this of her, and she said it with sadness. She said, she's so rich, all she has is money. Now, our Lord had nothing. Did He? Or did He? We want peace. He is peace. We want joy. Nothing could spoil His joy. We want happiness. He is the blessed man. Things aren't as they seem, aren't they? Christ is all. We're going to find out some of that. We're really going to find out. He's all. He's all. He's all the salvation of God. God loves His people in Christ. He's all the mercy of God. He's all the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of God, the reconciliation of God. Justification is all in Christ. Sanctification is all in Christ. That ark of Noah, Noah's ark. You were either in the ark or out of it, weren't you? No matter who you were, what you'd done, what you had, or whatever, there's two groups of people, those in Christ, those out of Christ. Because Christ is all salvation. All the promises of God, all the promises of God are in Christ. You believe Christ, you trust Christ, all the promises of God are yes. You mean, Lord, you accept me? Yes, in the beloved. You mean, Lord, you forgive me all my sins? Yes, in the beloved. You mean, Lord, you're going to take me into glory, a sinner, the chief of sinners that I am, just like your Son? Yes. Amen. To the glory of God by heaven. The blessings of God, the preeminence, He's all and in all. He's all and in all. You open up the heart, the mind of every true child of God. Dig down deep, and what you'll see is a love for Christ. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You ask the true child of God, of their salvation, of their hope of glory. What's your hope of glory? Every single true child of God could say it in one word, can't you? Christ. Christ. And I'll close this with an illustration. There's a man my wife made acquaintance with. She worked at my son's business. He had a music store downtown, and and met lots of people. And this man was a nice man. We liked him a lot. And she made his acquaintance waiting on him. And later on, Gabe was called to be a pastor and moved on. And then she met this man on the street one day. Michael, his name Michael. But anyway, the man came up to her and said, "Mindy," he said, "I got saved the other day." And she said, "I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, if the Lord had saved you, you would have said, 'The Lord saved me.'" He said, "Well, that's what I meant." No, she said, "That's not what you said. You see, Christ came down here to shed His precious blood, but worthless, undeserving, hell-deserving rebels against God. They all know that. They all find that out, that they're worthless. They're not worth saving. And Christ laid down His precious life. His blood was shed for the remission of their sin. He died that they might live. Do you think that one of them is going to tell anybody about something they did? That they let Him do this? That they accepted Him? Wouldn't that anger God? No, if the Lord saves you, let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And they will, buddy. Who saved you? God saved me. You choose God, He chooses you. What? That's a foolish question. Right? Who saved you? What's your hope? Christ. "In my hands no price I bring. Simply to the cross, the Christ of the cross I cling. I dare not trust the sweetest frame of holy lame, completely lame. I sold my all on Jesus Christ's name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is Christ all to you? Do you believe this? You love this? Is Christ all to you? Good. Glory be to God." Okay. May the Lord bless His word.